Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order at 12:03 p.m. It's David Corus. We'll start with roll call in no particular order. Grant Westerson.
Afternoon.
Afternoon. Tom Patton.
You're getting a little feedback, David, on your end, I think.
Hey, Paul, I think Paul Hinch, one of yours might be hot mic that would be doing the feedback.
Got it. Thanks. That seems to have resolved it. Gaffney Fesco.
Here, present.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
Doug Delina.
Here.
Paul Robertson.
Present.
Paul Hinch. I see Paul present. Okay, let's see here. John Johnson, not yet present. Paul Weitzcarver is not going to make it. Felix Reyes or Mayor Passero, not yet present. Tom Gill, we do not expect. Chuck Roman, we do not expect. Dave Perillo, not yet present, and Mayor Elliker. Okay, well, with eight present, we have quorum, and so we'll continue on to the agenda. We'll announce other board members if they join. We do not have minutes today since this is a special meeting, so we'll take on the minutes from our last meeting at our next regularly scheduled meeting. And apologies for having to schedule a special meeting, but the April date does not work. And so we're not gonna have our regular meeting in April. And this is a substitution for that meeting. So we'll move on first to the public comment. Any members of the public who wish to speak at this time, if you're on video, you can raise your hand or you can just take yourself off mute. If you're on the phone, you can press star 6 to come off mute, star 9 to raise your hand. Any members of the public who wish to speak at this time, please step forward.
Sure. Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yep. Yep. Go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So, sat in on the Finance Committee meeting, see that you guys are going to ask for 2/3 of the contingency. My understanding is about another $4 million of cost to this project. Looking back over the minutes from and listening to the recording from it was May of 2023, this project was supposed to be finished, I believe in October, minus a few things. And these cost overruns, these cost increases, and these delays have become so commonplace that the public, legislators, everybody is just largely numb to them. And I know Marlon Peterson's going to get up like he's done the past half dozen meetings and try and laugh this all off as though these repeated failures are just, you know, like a joke. And, you know, just try and downplay it. I'm sure that David Corus is going to try and downplay this as expected and just, you know, routine. And it really is sad that it has become routine to have just these, you know, more and more costs, more and more delays. We didn't get here as a result of honest mistakes or good judgment. I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. You've got John Johnson, who's a known conflict of interest. Everybody just allows him to continue to participate. You had Henry Wan, who was taking confidential information, you know, which he was soliciting while he was a board member, giving it to Seabury, that bribes given and received. And, you know, it's just theft of honest services. And the attorney general, who's just a political player, may say the laws weren't broken. There was no criminal activity. It's just not true. What you guys doing? It just baffles me that it's allowed to continue. So want to bring up the longshoremen, as I know that you know, you guys are always looking for some positive press. When you have something bad to release, you want to try and buoy it with some positive press. And helping the longshoremen with an increase in funding is good, and they deserve it. They were out of work for a long time. I want to bring up Driven Enterprises. Steve Farrelly is the person that you guys hurt the most. I hope the press doesn't forget him. It's an American business employing a lot of local people, and our government chose to help a foreign, you know, company, a very wealthy foreign company, and just treated him very, very poorly. So the last thing I'm going to say is my criminal case for painting the signs. Now, that was the case where I was erroneously charged with a felony as a result of, values submitted by David Corris there. That is still going through the court system, and I have a pretrial hearing in the coming weeks. And interestingly, that's going to allow me to subpoena, witnesses. And I certainly intend to subpoena you, David Corris. And I'm just going to continue to fight as aggressively as I can to correct, what you guys have done, the injustices, or have there be some type of accountability, I guess. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for reminding folks that the AG found that no laws were broken. Any other public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the committee reports. We had a finance committee meeting this morning. Finances are in incredibly good shape. It was a good discussion. I want to call out Faye, as I did this morning, for phenomenal work getting us to where we are, where we've had now month after month of consistent reporting, which make it really easy for the committee and the board to see the status, the comprehensive status of our finances, both between operations and capital. We did take one action this morning, which will need follow-up from the full board. And for recording purposes, I'll note that John Johnson has since joined for voting purposes. And we do need an action on some budget transfers. You'll recall that our operating procedures require us in the third quarter to take a look at budget against actuals and to make any adjustments necessary to make sure that lines do not come out of budget. All of the changes that were approved today by the Finance Committee are net neutral. There's no change to the bottom line. There's no change to the overall budget. We're taking from some lines that will be under budget by year's end and shifting them to some other lines that'll be over budget. I'll read through that and then entertain a motion and second, and then we can have discussion. And again, this was unanimously approved by the Finance Committee this morning at their 10 o'clock meeting. Resolved that in accordance with Section 4 of the Authority's operating procedures, in order to prevent any line item of the Authority's annual operating budget from containing or being projected to contain a deficit, the Board hereby accepts the following modifications to the fiscal year 2024 budget as recommended by the Finance Committee at its March 19th regular meeting. And so, excuse me one second while I pull up those amendments, and I'll read them off. There are several lines that we will take a debit from the budgeted amount, and then several lines that we will credit to the budgeted amount. Again, the net impact of which being zero. We will take from 50100 salaries in the amount of 75,000, 50300 fringe benefits in the amount of 60,000, and 52601 utilities in the amount of 10,000. We will add to the budgeted lines of 51300 contractual services, communication outreach sponsorship in the amount of 50,000, 51403 contractual services, consultant professional services in the amount of 40,000, 52204 administrative and general travel board members in the amount of 3,500, 52205 administrative general operations other in the amount of 6,500, and 52652 administrative and general insurance and liability in the amount of 45,000. again, the net impact of which is zero. I'll entertain a motion in second, and then we can discuss and answer any questions that folks might have.
David, so moved. Tom Patton.
Tom, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Gaffney. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving on to the HR committee report. Brian, I'll hand it over to you.
All right, thanks, David. Yeah, HR committee had discussion about reposting a position that we have been trying to fill since the departure of Joe Salvatore. So, and this position would focus on a number of infrastructure and management responsibilities around the ship grants, dredging, and oversight and interactions regarding dredging activities, and a study that the Army Corps of Engineers is doing in partnership with the state, as well as also the pilot commission. Overseeing the pilot commission, or we're interacting with the pilot commission. It's a position that, you know, we previously tried to fill, and had a little bit more focus at that time on sort of business development as a responsibility, but we were not successful in attracting qualified candidates. So this really focuses on those more operational needs that I just described, and we are intending to engage a search firm to help with the process. So Ulysses, I don't know if you want to add anything to the conversation at this point. But that's the gist of it.
No, it covers it.
All right.
Any questions or comments from anyone on the update from the HR committee? Okay, moving on to the executive director. Oh yeah, Grant, go right ahead.
Yeah, David, not to interrupt. I don't think it should be overlooked that there was some discussion about the levels of payroll there, that expansion of the 75 to 100,000 may be a possibility or a necessity during the personnel search.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and just to build on that, I just wonder, I think there may be some work going on in terms of hiring an executive search firm. I'm assuming they'll be able to give us a good sense of what the market is for positions like this, or what's in the realm of the possible for either how we craft the position differently than we have, or what it really requires to get somebody that can fit the bill.
Yeah, that's the intention. Yep.
Thanks.
They're going to give us the best guidance on that.
Great. Other comments or questions? Okay, we'll move on to the executive director's report. Ulysses?
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to touch on a few highlights from the February 20 meeting, starting with the Small Harbor Improvement Projects Program. Our Ship 4 Projects Program was announced March 1. We announced the launch of Ship 4 on March 1. We also did a very, very extensive announcement with respect to this particular posting. We posted it, of course, not only on the authority's website, but also on the CT Source bid board. We sent letters also to the harbor and deputy harbor managers, the first selectmen, the mayors and town managers, to the harbor management commission chairs, and the executive directors of the Regional Council of Governments. So it's a very, very extensive announcement. Plus, we're doing also press releases. We're working with Clint and Harry on press releases to the various papers as well. The deadline for the submission of applications is July 1. July 1 is the deadline, and what we hope to have in place by that time also is a maritime development manager that Brian Thompson and the Human Resources Committee just spoke about just a few minutes ago. With respect to the pilot commission, the Connecticut Pilot Commission, they voted to make a recommendation to the authority, which is going to be coming to the board at probably its next meeting, to announce a solicitation for an apprentice. And so that is to get the apprenticeship program up and running and initiated this year. So that's something that's going to be coming to the board more formally. The Fort Trumbull Rehabilitation Project over at Pier 7, that particular study and design is going very well. We've had some very, very good meetings. Our last meeting was February the 29th. But to give you an update on that, by mid-April, we should have 30% of the design completed with respect to what is expected as it relates to construction, as well as some preliminary idea about cost as well. When it comes to state dredging study, that is progressing now as well. The status of the dredging study is where the Army Corps has completed, if you will, what is called a project management plan, or PMP. And Connecticut Port Authority, along with DEEP, we're working with the Corps on the compilation of a detailed list of Connecticut coastline dredging needs, and characterize also the dredge material by the end of this year. That is an undertaking that we will also be reporting on with and to State Senator Austin by the end of the week. We'll be talking about timeline and budget with her, as well as other stakeholders that are interested in this particular area. When it comes to state compliance reporting, we have also completed, if you will, the quarterly report from the Transportation Committee. As required, that report now has been sent to DAS and OPM for their comment and will be submitted by April 1. When it comes to the New Haven Port Authority, we've been working with the New Haven Port Authority on the pass-through, if you will, of funds for an impending master plan, which will also include the expansion of rail at the New Haven Harbor as well. And that is something, again, that I just wanted to make sure that the board is aware that we're working with them on. And to the extent that we need any additional authorizations, we will also be advising the board of that as well. Gateway Terminal and their what is called Port Improvement and Development Program grant. We reported on this at our last meeting and just wanted to let you know we continue to work with Gateway. They have also, as this board requested, they have also sent a scope of work. I will be sharing that scope of work with the board, along with a contractual arrangement, because we also indicated when it comes to us being held harmless and indemnified against any additional costs, all of that is being worked through right now with council. When it comes to our educational outreach, just on March 5, I presented to a very interesting group. They're called the Norwich Power Squadron. They are a boating and safety organization. We had a very, very good exchange with the Power Squadron. And on March 13, I was a panelist at the Connecticut Maritime Association Annual Shipping Expo and Conference in Stamford. So We've been very busy in terms of also making sure that the work that the CPA and the state of Connecticut really are doing together and making and bringing, if you will, a new industry to America. We're talking very much about the roles that the CPA has been playing in that regard. So that, then right now, is the sum and substance of my reports. Mr. Chairman, I'll come back later, of course, and actually give an update to on the state peer project at that point in time.
Great. Thanks, Ulysses. And I'll just note, too, that Board Member Felix Reyes has joined. We'll go into the Deep Harbor update. I know, Ulysses, you have just a couple things on New Haven. I mean, you touched on them in your remarks. Do you have more that you want to address here? Or?
No, that basically, I just wanted to tee this up to make sure that the board knows that we talked about this at our last meeting with Sally Cruz with the board, and we've been continuing to work with them on the pass-through of funding that was approved by the State Bond Commission. And so I think we have basically, we're getting now very, very close to closing that out. And I just wanted to make sure that the board was aware that we're continuing to work with them. As also at our last meeting, we talked about the Gateway Terminal Port Infrastructure Development Program. And so we are working with Gateway Terminal also as a non-federal sponsor with respect to that PIPD, that PIDP grant. Just wanted to make sure that, and you also requested that we share with you a scope of work, and we plan to also do that. And there's also an agreement there too, to make sure that when it comes to any liability, that we also have no liability with respect to that particular grant as well. So we're working with them and our council on both fronts.
Great, thanks. Anyone have any questions or comments on anything in Ulysses' overall report or related to those two New Haven updates? Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda, state peer update and GMP amendment number 11.
Okay. Well, tremendous progress has been made over the course of the last, especially in the course of the last few weeks. We have completed the dredging. So all the dredging that was required for the project, all that dredging has been completed. We dredged in front of the state pier. That's done. Also, I'm happy to report that the pile driving. We drove our last pile last week. And so to the residents of New London and to the residents of Groton, I say thank you for enduring all of the pile driving during the day and night that has taken place. But we drove our last pile last week as well. So a couple of major, major milestones.
Just to remind folks, that is the last of how many, Marlon? Do you remember the total?
It's over 700. Marlon, we can't hear you. Can't hear you, Marlon. Marlon.
Marlon was having sound issues and so needed to call in. If you're able to press star 6 to unmute.
Marlon, can you hear us?
Ah, well, I can hear you. I just couldn't get unmuted. So
okay.
Microphone's not working in the computer. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Literally each heavy lift platform is about 350. And then we've got another close to 600-700 along the State Pier tow wall. So we're well north of 1,000 plus.
Last one, last week.
A very good day.
Raise a flag.
And it was not easy to get there, but hard work got there. So we'll continue on, Ulysses. We got more to say.
All right. There was also an announcement this past weekend, quite frankly, from the governor of New York. And she was talking about the 12 turbines that had been developed, that had been installed, and all of them now have been installed, meaning that the Port of New London has now assisted the state of Connecticut in us having basically the first completed utility scale wind farm in America, and it came out of New London as a result of the staging and assembly of work that took place at the New London State Pier. So she was also very, very complimentary of New London. She mentioned New London in her remarks, of which we were very, very appreciative, because she also realized, and the folks at the state of Connecticut, of New York, realized that had it not been for the work and the workers who actually developed the pier and who actually staged and assembled those turbines for delivery, she recognized the fact that all of that had taken place right here in Connecticut. Over the next 3 to 4 weeks, the project team expects the remaining construction activities to achieve substantial completion. Accordingly, though, punch list work will be identified and is being identified and scheduled, established that that avoids impact to the Revolution when marshaling operations. In other words, what we're doing right now is making sure that as we now schedule any punch list issues and items in this month and next month, that we do not impact the ability for Rev Wind to get started next month as well. We anticipate that the Rev Wind components will start to arrive next month. And so construction and operations continue to be coordinated simultaneously. But we're now definitely in the final stages of all of this with respect to our construction at State Pier. Let me turn this over now to our construction administrator, Marlon Peterson.
Thank you, Executive Director Hammond. Just in response to some of the comments that are made, and we will try to hit most of them, but you know, the entire team has and continues to work diligently to complete the works in the shortest amount of time possible. As you've heard, pile driving has extended much too long, but at the same time, those crews often have worked 6 days a week and often have worked double shifts, two 10-hour shifts, in order to achieve the objective or the goals that we've now obtained. The good news regarding achievement of key construction milestones has continued, as the executive director was highlighting. If you recall, last month, we energized the terminal. We're pleased to report, as earlier stated, the balance of the dredging and the driving is completed as of February 25th and just March 13th. So this information is very new, if you would. Furthermore, in the vicinity of the south wall, the placement of our earthwork, the vibro compaction, and the regrading of the central wharf, which was that 7-acre infill, including the rehabilitation of the CVRR southwest corner foundation or west return, is also completed. So the footprint that now makes up the enlarged, expanded, permit-approved state pier has been completed. Over the next several weeks, significant activity at the terminal will continue as the contractors will complete the installation of the remaining fenders, bollards, and ladders along the state pier's installation berth. The contractor will also continue installation of storm drainage piping and manholes that connect to our last outfall number 4. The tide flex check valve will be assembled and placed, which enables the drainage system to be finalized. That is the last component, if you would, along south wall. The salvage granite blocks will be reset along the terminal's western edge. Final grading, placement, and compaction of the remaining DGA will be accomplished, therefore establishing the terminal's final wearing surface as you see it today, but across the entire terminal. And then very much lastly, the temporary items such as the construction fences will be removed and reconditioning of our site's transport corridor will be accomplished. So over the next month, targeted from 3 weeks from today, if you would, the project team does expect to to achieve significant completion or progress such that substantial completion milestone will be achieved. Yes, we were targeting the end of December at our last, as we came up through the fall, but issues along the state pier and the south wall, as we've talked to you at each of your meetings, those issues have finally now been overcome, and this will allow the balance of the works to complete, as we mentioned, in the last 3 weeks.
I'll just
subcontractor demolition.
Marlon, let me just add to your point. Portions of the facility have continued to be released and transferred over to operations, right? Yeah. So behind the scenes, every month or two, as areas of works are completed, those are incrementally handed over to Gateway for utilization by Ørsted and Eversource. And so, you know, I just want to make sure everyone understands that we've been consistently chipping away at milestones and project areas. Areas have consistently been added to the lease area. Although since we handed over the first phase of the terminal for use South Fork, we've been getting rent on the entirety of the facility. So that milestone was met about a year ago, and we're down to just a couple remaining areas. It keeps shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. The construction fence keeps getting moved. Now we're down to this final location where the outfall is being installed.
We actually turned over operations April the 22nd of last year. April 22, 2023, we started operations. Staging and assembly.
And with great points, and with this board's concurrence, we planned for that process over the last year in this transition through the process of amendments number 9 and 10. So yes, while we've struggled in certain construction areas, classified them, categorized them in a way that the operations team could complete their needs and their requirements while the construction team worked around the perimeter. And now that transport corridor is the one we're working ourselves out of. Just to go through that, as we complete the month of April, it's envisioned that the contractor's demobilization zone, as we call it, will be moved to the very western edge of the CVRR terminal. Therefore, just like we've been talking about, operations will have complete access to both heavy lift platforms, the entirety of the improved staging area. And just to clarify for everyone, the demob zone for the contractor is simply to position and retain small tools and equipment such that they can facilitate the final completion of the punch list over the coming weeks. So again, keeping them to the far western edge so that they are on site, but then have to be escorted with the appropriate credentials, et cetera, to finish the works. So a very exciting time as we continue to work through these last several weeks. Again, back to you, Ulysses.
Okay. Well, I think we are ready to probably discuss now the amendment number 11. So let me basically turn it back to you for an introduction of amendment number 11.
Okay. Really, I think the best way to say that is for each, Jim, this is amendment number 11. So for each of the 10 amendments that have preceded, the construction administrator, the CA, as we like to call ourselves, on behalf of the CPA, we conduct detailed assessments of each change proposal that is submitted by the contractor. We vet them for merit, and those that have merit, we then work to verify and quantify the value. And once we have passed the merit conversation and then have concurrence on the value with the contractor or acceptance, we then bring it to yourselves. So in today's amendment number 11, there are five different items that we would like to present. Each of those five items we were aware of last summer as we were moving through the amendment number 10, if you would. Unfortunately, the value for each were not yet confirmed. And so as we've moved through the many months, we have finalized that value and that we have now brought to you for consideration. The five items, three of them pertain to site-related changes. For example, the U.S. Coast Guard and the New London Harbor pilots, the northeast bulkhead berth was enlarged and the turning basin broadened. So they asked us to put safety buoys on the very northern end so that as new vessel operators would come in, they would know where the dredge footprint, where that basin ended. So it was for a safety element, which came out of the navigation study. Also, if you recall, in amendment numbers 9 and 10, we did create three allowances. They were associated with pile driving. So in today's conversation, or in today's request, one of the five items is resolution of that pile driving work at the state pier relieving platform. In your package, we provided, as part of our recommendation to you, we provided the table and a write-up for each of the elements and their price and the purpose, if you would, of the change or the merit conversation. We talked about the hazard buoys in conversation with the City of New London and their operator, Veolia. We had planned to have a 6-inch water main distribution system. The firefighting, because of the vessels and the type of welding that's being done on site, they asked us to upgrade that to a 12-inch service. So that was the change number two for a larger water meter and the RPZ. As we excavated the site, if you recall, we excavated 3 to 5 feet so that we could then bring back DGA, dense graded aggregate, and build back up the surface. That DGA gives you a uniform distribution of the load, which in this case is 3,000 PSF. As we excavated, we found, as you do when you work sometimes on a 100-year-old site, we found 5 sewer manholes that were not included in the as-built. So as we run into those manholes, one of the beautiful parts of the terminal is its broad open area so that you can maneuver the large tower sections and blades. Hence, we couldn't have 5 large sewer manholes sticking up in the middle because that would influence the movement. So $350,000 to drop those. And much like an airport, sewers generally are rated for roads, but in this case, we now have rated them for aircraft landing because that's the largest and heaviest types of lids that go on the sewer. So again, the transport of this heavy equipment over it can be accommodated. Because we had to upgrade the water main from the 6 to the 12, that work is underway now, but we basically had to protect that current connection from November through the winter months to ensure South Fork Wind could continue to operate and have the necessary water for the fire suppression system. Hence, we spent $227,000 to ensure we had that temporary water connection, and then we heated it through the winter months to ensure, of course, it was available as needed. And then lastly, State Pier Heavy Lift Platform. If some of the board members recall, there were 3 piles, 31, 33, and 34, which are on the very southern end. As we drove that bent, we ran into a deep obstruction, which you may recall was approximately 10 by 12 feet in terms of size of a granite boulder. It influenced those 3 piles. We needed to work around and drill through that. So we had set aside an allowance of $470,000. In fact, it cost us, in negotiation with the contractor, $1.2 million, and the delta, therefore, is the $870,000 that's being asked for. Altogether, it's a total of $1.59 million for the 5 items. It is funded out of the CPA $6 million contingency that was established last summer. And we continue to diligently work hard to try to deliver the balance of these works within that available contingency. Any specific questions that you may have?
Do you foresee any further need to tap into our contingency?
We have 2 remaining allowances. If you recall, we established 3. The other 2 is for the south wall pile and for the State Pier's toe wall. Our contractor finished the south wall in 1st of February, and they, as you just heard, finished the pile driving just on the 13th and 14th of March. So we look forward to resolving or reconciling those last two allowances in a final amendment. And yes, we will.
So our contingency will cover that those expenses.
Marlon, we lost you a couple of seconds.
The answer to that is yes, John. But Marlon, we lost you. We lost your audio.
Am I back?
There you are.
Am I there?
Yeah.
Yep. I'll just hold it up closer. I'm sorry. At what point did I cut out?
I think my question to you, Marlon, was, will our contingencies, what's left of our contingency fund, will they cover the expenses of the two additional items that you're talking about?
RCA assessment, the answer to that is yes. The contractor's assessment to that is likely no. And so it will see how we come to resolution of that discrepancy.
And I just remind folks, we've got a little additional extra room. You know, when we had the additional contingency from the last state authorization, we used some of that to replenish our escrow funds for the railroad parcel. So that's fully funded out for the entirety of that lease duration, whereas we had borrowed against it in the past. So, you know, that always remains an opportunity as we have projected significant increased revenue in the out years that would be able to cover that, what is really an operating expense. But we are, you know, we're not going back for more money. We've got all the money we need.
Thank you.
So could I ask a question about the allowances and how they interact with the amendments? I think, you know, for those of us who are not contracting experts, we built in these three allowances, and the amendment you're bringing to us today is within one of those allowances, right? But we still have to make an amendment. So I just want to understand a little bit better how that works. And I think it might be helpful to have that explanation on the record of, even when it's an allowance, you know, an amendment is needed.
Go ahead.
I'll take a first stab at it, Mark, because part of, as you know, one of the allowances is addressed in this amendment, but because the cost of that works ended up being in excess of the amount that we had allowed for. And so the allowance was treated in a prior amendment as a holding amount in the contract. That work ultimately cost more than that. And so the delta is in this amendment.
Okay, got it. I had misunderstood that part. So that's
helpful. If the cost had been entirely within the value of the allowance, an amendment would not be required. But the excess of the allowance is one of the items covered in today's amendment.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions, comments?
Hey, David, I got a simple question for Marlon, and it's really, it's on subject, but it's off subject. Of 5,000 pounds per square foot, that's the loading that the port has been designed for. And you mentioned an airplane out there. So I suppose other than thinking that Groton Airport's going to move over, what kind of loading are the main runways at, say, Bradley Field? What are they built for?
I am not an aviation expert, but I will give it a shot. If you recall, our design has got a pile supported foundation, which then has, if I get it right, 3 foot deep concrete beams. And then it's got a 2 foot thick concrete slab And then we've got 2 or 3 feet of DGA on top. So overall, we have about 7 feet of material, if you would, concrete pile to DGA. In a similar way, an airport landing area, particularly where the wheels come down and you hit, that area has an exceptionally thick concrete slab also, I believe in the 2 to 3 foot thick range with heavy, heavy duty rebar. And those of you who may have been out on the site may recall part of, you know, we probably have 700 RFIs, requests for information, that we've processed. I'm going to guess 20 to 25% of them are about rebar, about how to fit them all together and then still have, you know, electrical conduit coming through for the shore power, having vertical bolts drilled down for the bollards because there's such a mesh of rebar. And again, that ultimately has added cost because not only do we have thicker slabs, but we have more rebar. And so that heavy lift platform is very akin, I believe, to that very thick landing platform for aviation. But that's my best guess because I'm not an airport person. But again, just to put it in context, as we did way back in the permitting stage of this, most of us are familiar with container terminals where the large ships with the big cranes unload the containers off of vessels. They are the typical platform for marine use, and they're 1,000 pounds per square foot, which will allow the containers that we're so used to seeing. Our federal highway limits the weight of those trucks moving over the road to, I think it's 30 ton, 35 ton. The reason we have the heavy lift platforms is each one of those tower sections are 300 ton, and then we stack them on top of each other, as you've seen now. And that point load gets very heavy, as does the nacelle, which is 700 to 800 to the forecasting up to 1,000 tons per each one of the nacelles, which is the centerpiece that the blades connect to. So very, very heavy loads, a unique facility that, yes, it can accommodate offshore wind, but as we've said in the permitting documents, not only offshore wind, but any other heavy lift general cargo such that can then use the rail service is also will also be beneficial. So again, multiple commodities over the lifetime of the project. Hope that answered some of that question.
Yeah, it was idle interest. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments and questions before I read the resolution? Okay, resolved. I think
John's waving his arm, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was waving to a customer.
That's unusual on that street.
I'll read the resolution, entertain a motion second, and then we can have any further discussion. Resolve the 11th Amendment to Construction Management at Risk Contract by and between Authority and Cubitt Infrastructure Company, here and after referred to as the 11th Amendment, substantially in the form attached hereto as Exhibit to Agenda Item Number 7A, is hereby approved and conditional on the funding in full. That seems to be a remnant from an older resolution because all the funding is in escrow. So I'm not going to read that. The interim executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to negotiate, execute, and deliver such 11th Amendment and any and all reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion? Grant, is there a second?
Second.
I second.
Second by, was that Paul Robertson?
Well, no, but I'll second. I can second.
Okay, sorry. I thought I was talking, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Any further questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great, approved unanimous. Any old business? Okay, no new business at a special meeting. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
My Grant, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Tom. Meeting's adjourned, 12:53. Again, we will have no regular meeting in April because of conflicts. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is June. there's always a chance we'll need a special meeting between now and then, but don't expect to hear from us for at least a little while we get the while we get the project finished up. Thanks everyone for coming together for the special meeting.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Thank you.